Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We've been chatting at length about Jacob Zuma's recent setback in respect of the High Court decision to set aside Arthur Fraser's decision to have him released early on medical parole. We're now going to chat to Advocate Zahir Oman. He's an advocate at Zahir Oman Legal Practice, and he's going to be giving us a little bit of insight as into what comes next. And the most important question I think everybody's asking is whether or not Mr. Zuma will have to begin his 15 months of imprisonment. Advocate, a very good morning to you, sir. Advocate, are you there? We seem, that's better. We had a little bit of a technical difficulty. Advocate, good morning to you. The question I had for you, was, do we expect to see Mr. Zuma having to begin these 15 months of imprisonment now that the High Court has ruled that the medical parole must be set aside?
I had the benefit of perusing the application leave to appeal. The application for leave to appeal has been served and filed, and the grounds set out in the application for leave to appeal reassure me that former President Zuma will be granted leave to appeal. The effect of being given leave to appeal would mean that former President Zuma will not have to immediately go to prison. He will be given leave to appeal either to the full bench of the Pretoria High Court or to the Supreme Court of Appeals. We'll have to wait until the appeal is heard. Now, the important question is, why do I say that that there is a good chance of success for President Zuma to succeed in the appeal? Look, Arthur Fraser, the former Commissioner of Correctional Services, was found by a single judge to have misacted, to have erred in releasing former President Zuma on medical parole. Now, the judge who found that did not go further. The review against the decision of Arthur Fraser was brought under the Promotion of Administration of Justice Act. Now, under that act, the judge has a very wide discretion, meaning that the judge himself could have substituted the decision of Arthur Fraser. Now, as is the view of the majority on the ground, a 79-year-old man, a former president, there is no precedent in our law for something like this. Never has this ever happened before. There is precedent in our law where presidents who are clearly guilty of crimes against humanity did not go to prison. Did not go to prison. This former president declared, former president both, etc. But as far as President Zuma is concerned, we're sitting here with a man who is 79 years old, who has a medical condition, serious medical condition, despite it, the court finding it not to be terminal, or it will not result in imminent death. We have former President Zuma having spent 20 years in Robben Island fighting for the liberation of his people. He came out of prison. He continued striving for the liberation of his people. These are all factors which the court could have taken into account to justly confirm that his release on parole was justified. Now, until the Sheikh case, medical parole was the only grounds which could be relied upon to release a person on medical parole. After the Shabir Sheikh parole, the grounds were expanded. And the judge in Pretoria, in my view and in view of many others, clearly erred and omitted himself in only relying on the fact that Arthur Fraser erred. And what is worse, the judge could not find against Arthur Fraser on the basis that he erred. The judge ought to have found that Arthur Fraser misdirected himself and acted irrationally and arbitrarily, because this was a review. A review is different to an appeal. Have I comprehensively answered your question?
You have. I think the concern everybody has is that with what we've seen over the years in respect of CADA deployment, the fact that people have been put into positions of power, and we talk about capture of key state institutions, that having somebody who served as the head of state security under President Zuma then being placed in a position of authority over correctional services, that perhaps he was overzealous and biased in granting this early medical parole. And this is the concern that the public has. It comes down to this whole concept of state capture. We know that to a certain extent, a lot of our public organizations have to a certain extent been captured. How you want to define capture, there's many different definitions of it. But the general inference made by certain individuals is that the only reason that this happened was because Zuma had a connection to the Commissioner of Correctional Services in his previous lifetime. So it's an interesting dynamic. Of course, we've still got the other trial coming up together with Thales. Where do you see that going, Advocate Oman?
Look, as far as the arms deal trial is concerned, that has to come up. Look, if indeed it is found that former President Zuma, whom I will refer to as President Zuma, is justified to be given parole, then the arms deal trial will be academic. But some issues you raised are very interesting. Look, the imposition of the sentence on President Zuma of 15 months in the first place was done at the behest of acting Chief Justice Zondo. Now, as recently as yesterday, the front page of the Star newspaper reported that Deputy Justice, Chief Justice Zondo was guilty of unconstitutional and unethical conduct. Because Zondo approached the Human Science Research Council to seek the help to get him to draft his ruling on the state capture inquiry. Now, this is the level and the depth that our country has descended into. But what's worse is we have in the previous front page of the Star newspaper a front page article saying that all cases against President Zuma are assigned to the judge president, Dunstan Mlombo. And when it's assigned to judge president Dunstan Mlombo, President Ramaphosa wins the case. And furthermore, all government officials are subject to a personal audit as far as the lifestyle is concerned. The only exclusion is President Ramaphosa. So if we talk about the capture of the state, we at a state position now where not only is the state capture, but we have capture of the judiciary as well. So we're sitting with a very huge dilemma, a massive dilemma.
It would seem so, Advocate. And it's something that we really need to look at going forward. Unfortunately, our time is up. We have the news headlines coming up, but I would like to chat to you going into the new year because this is an insightful conversation because there are different agendas at play. There are different narratives at play and the people that suffer are those in South Africa. And we can't allow going into 2022 with elections around the corner in 2024, having these agendas and narratives carry on playing out. There needs to come a point where there is finality to all of this. I really appreciate your insights this morning. If you want to find out more, Advocate Zahir Oman, he's an advocate with the Legal Practice Council, and we really appreciate his insight. It's now time for the news headlines.